I'm Vernon Kay, and this is Game Picks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Game Picks, the NFL preview podcast, where I go head-to-head with my friends from around the league. We see if who can cut it when it comes to deciding the winners and losers every week. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds, and it's an unconventional start to the show this week because we're going to be rejoined by our guest from last week, Richard Graves, because we have to discuss the outcome of the Detroit Lions and the Atlanta Falcons. It was the only game we picked different last week, so it was all down to one game. I went 11-3. Richard went 10-4 based on Matthew Stafford to TJ Hockenson with no time left. And then a 48-yard extra point as well. Gravesy, welcome.
I've spent good money over the last few days trying to get over this, Neil.
I love it.
And can I say, it wasn't helped by your text in, I'm not going to say gloating, but you're pretty happy.
Rounded off
the following morning. There's nothing like having close family and friends, is there? And my wife turns around to me, because she was aware that this was going on, and says, do you know, sometimes, Richard, you just need to embrace failure. Embrace failure? I wasn't the one that stumbled apologetically over the goal line when the game was in the bag, and I wasn't the Atlanta Falcons defense that just surrendered the entire field. And yet my own wife is saying, do you know what, just embrace failure sometimes.
Brilliant. I'm just double checking on our text message chain, which was going on in the middle of what was the most bonkers half hour of NFL coverage. We've got touchdowns flying in left and right. The sound went down in the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game. So I'm doing play-by-play, updating the touchdowns from Cincinnati, keeping an eye on the Falcons and Lions, but still found the time to text message with you as well. But I looked. It actually started with me complaining. I used a swear word, Matt swear word Prater, because he missed a field goal. Then it goes on. You reply a little bit later, obviously, you have got to be kidding me, to which I reply, ha 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 ha, love it. And then you just send back an emoji of is that Stitch from Lilo and Stitch, a gif where he's just banging
it
a wall.
Is, yes. Literally head banging a wall.
But of all the ways for the Falcons to lose, you should have known this when you picked the Falcons. They'll find a way. Todd Gurley's putting on the brakes at 9.5 yards, falling into the end zone. The Lions players are appealing for the touchdown. I mean, scenes you would never see in the NFL. I just thought it was incredible.
When was the last time you saw the opposing players celebrating?
No.
When the opposition scored a touchdown. That's what the Detroit Lions defensive players were doing.
And then Danny Amendola gets the penalty. So it's a 48-yard extra point.
and I actually thought he might miss it. I thought he might miss it, given that he missed one earlier in the game. But no.
And I didn't realise that only when I started, I was talking the next day to somebody at NFL UK and I was like, you should do a little social on that because it's, a 1-point win, dramatic, between the Lions and Falcons. Prater decides it. And it was actually 6 years to the day on the Monday that, you remember when they came from behind Detroit to win at Wembley? Unbelievable.
Well, it was unreal, and it had everything. And I'll tell you why, halfway through the game, when you sent that original text cussing Matt Prater, the reason I was so confident was because the Detroit Lions, over the last 18 months, are the team that when they get their noses in front in a game, they somehow find a way to blow it. And they've already done that on several occasions this season. And I'm sat there and I know about the Falcons and they've already had two games against the Bears and the Cowboys when they had a 99% win probability, but they've lost the game. It's not going to happen a third time. We're safe as houses. This is in the bag.
Right. Bear in mind, the main game on Sky Sports was two undefeated teams, Pittsburgh and Tennessee. We had the Bengals and the Browns going back and forth. There were big games across the league. How invested were you in a Detroit Lions Atlanta Falcons game? Because people called me out on Twitter. They said they could hear me getting excited every time Detroit scored. And then they put hashtag game picks.
I was far more interested in that game than I ever should have been. I think it's fairly safe to say.
Yes.
Because it was the most bonkers half hour of the whole season so far.
It certainly was. Gravesy, you're a great sport for coming back on. And let's get you back on later in the season so you can have a chance to redeem yourself. What do you think?
the rematch, it's on.
All right, good. We're going to set that up with our promoters. That was my good friend and a good sport, Richard Graves. Okay, let's get on to my main guest for this week then. And he is a famous television presenter. But for the purposes of this podcast, you need to know this man was a hard-hitting national championship winning safety with the London Warriors. He's the co-host of the Fumble podcast and a massive NFL fan. Please welcome Vernon Kay. Vernon, how are you, mate?
I'm really good, thank you, Neil. Yeah, I'm enjoying the season because, yeah, I'm going to delve straight into football. I apologise. I don't think we have a surefire Super Bowl winner as it stands at the moment. And I think that's what makes this season really exciting. That we've had no pre-season. We've seen a lot of injuries. We've seen a lot of key superstars going down with ailments. And I think, I'll be honest with you, I think it's a really open season so far. I mean, obviously, there's teams that are absolute garbage. But I think the forerunners, I think there's quite a few that we can pick from.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just let you know, Vernon, I'm undefeated in the picks. The closest anyone has come to knocking me off is your Fumble cohort, Darren Fletcher. We tied in week one.
Darren would have hated that.
So it's up to you.
It's amazing how it amazes me, and it is amazing how Darren's brain holds so much information, not only on Premier League, not only on Champions League, but also on NFL as well. He's like I was when I was 13. I was obsessed by the NFL. I knew every player on every squad, and I knew all the statistics. I knew what college they went to. And Darren is still like that, but he's a grown-ass man. He's unbelievable. He's like yourself, Neil. He lives, breathes, and poops football.
He does, but then that's all I live and breathe. Whereas then he'll turn it to the Premier League, and then I'll hear him talk about his fantasy baseball team. And yeah. I'm like, how do you do this?
That's a really good point. I never thought about that. Yeah, he's got fingers in every sporting pie. Yeah, and he's a good lad as well. And I think that's what I really enjoy about the NFL community in the UK is that we have a far-reaching audience and we have a far-reaching number of fans who love it. You know, like Darren, only last night as we record this, he was commenting on the Man United game. You know, yourself, you've been... I think some people don't realise how many pieces of great journalism you wrote back in the day at Gridiron and First Down and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's people like yourself and Darren and me as a fan that I think if we keep pushing the game forward onto younger fans, it can only get bigger and better in the UK. And I think I'm tired now, and I'm sure you are, Neil. I'm tired of all those comments of, oh, it takes too long. I don't understand the rules. It's like, listen, just embrace it. Embrace the game, enjoy it for what it is. It's entertaining, it's razzmatazz, it's glitz and glamour. Just put all that bull plop behind you and just sit and watch it and enjoy it. Like I phoned up Five Live once because they had a pop about the Super Bowl. It was the Patriots Falcons game, and Nicky Campbell was going on about how boring American football is and this, that, and the other, and it made me so angry with the stuff that he was coming out with, because it was all that stuff that we are used to hearing. So I went on there, I said, listen, I said, cricket takes 4 days. Tennis, if we're going to five sets, it takes 5.5 hours. I said, snooker, you can sit in the crucible all afternoon and only see 3 frames. I said, give it a rest.
Yeah. I had the same thing once with the great John Inverdale, and he is a great broadcaster. I was on with him and he was saying, oh, I can't get into NFL, it's too stop start. And I've told this story before on this podcast, but it was the middle of June. And I just said to him, I said, oh, you're going to enjoy Wimbledon next week, John. It's exactly the same thing.
But John Inverdale, I swear to goodness, I have got a VHS video somewhere of when John Inverdale hosted a Monday night game for Channel 4. John Inverdale used to do some American football coverage, but he'd only do the links. So maybe he was sports presenter for hire at the time. But I guarantee I've seen him do American football on Channel 4.
Vernon, you've already given a clear indication, and we won't talk about your fandom later. We might as well do it now. There are people who, well, let's just put them this way. They're influencers, they're called these days, aren't they? There are influencers who say they like the NFL, who don't know one end of a football from the other. You love it with a boyish passion. It was fantastic to hear.
Yeah, I do. I do. And that boyish passion has continued ever since I was a boy. You know, I saw my first game in 85, and then the Wonder Years came out, and I was obsessed by Winnie Cooper and Kevin Arnold and their ongoing relationship. You know, and if people are listening and you haven't watched the Wonder Years,
go back.
Just go back and watch it. It's the most amazing, most beautiful produced, most beautiful story. And it just captures everything that went on in your youth. Doesn't matter who you are, but whatever you did as a kid, it captures it. And it's an amazing show. And the first episode aired at halftime. I think it was the Super Bowl between the Bears and the Patriots, or not, if not the following one, between the Broncos and the Giants.
And the Giants, yeah.
Yeah. But it's an amazing TV show. Anyway, I watched that, and then American football was on after it. And I thought, you know what, I'll stick around here. And then I joined the Manchester All-Stars and played for 2 years kitted football from 13 to 15 / 16, and then played again at 19, and then joined the Warriors at the tender age of 36.
Fantastic. Wily veteran.
Exactly. An idiot, some might say. But that's why I can't remember anything. That's why on the fumble, I leave all the facts and stats to Darren, because I just can't. They go in and then they come out.
Good. Well, I hope you leave your facts and stats behind now. We are going to make our game picks.
All right, nice. Let's do it.
Okay, let's make these picks then. Vernon, we're going to go through what were called the Big Six. So we'll dig into those a little bit more, a couple of minutes each on those, and then we'll go hurry up offense on everything else. So what you'll find as well, this is why I'm undefeated. When I'm not quite sure on a game, I normally let you go first.
Do you know what, Neil? It wasn't Darren, okay, but another member of the UK NFL community sent me a text message, and said, I guarantee you'll lose when you pick your winners and losers against Neil, because if he's unsure, he'll make you go first.
Right. Well, you tell Charles Dagnall to do one.
That's a classic. But the best thing is, Neil, the best thing is everyone knows how passionate you are about picking your winners. So I'm ready to go. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
All right. So Pittsburgh at Baltimore. So Pittsburgh are the last undefeated team. Baltimore are very quiet, 5-1. Okay. I'll change it then. I'll show you daggers. And I'm going to pick Baltimore. I still think they're an elite defense. I think we've not seen Lamar hit full heights yet, but there's still enough of the Lamar Jackson from last year. I just think the Ravens are a very, very good team. And I think Pittsburgh are also a very good team, but I was a bit worried about the second half last week. So there you go. I'm going to go Ravens. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to go with you, Neil. And now I know why you like to go second. I'm going to go Ravens because I think this will be the one game where Lamar Jackson really comes into fruition, where we see the Lamar Jackson that we know and love, because the Steelers are getting pressure on the quarterbacks. We know that Watt is a special talent on the outside. And I think once Lamar gets past the D-line, I think he's gone. I think he's dust. But also, I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to struggle because the D-line, well, the defense in general of the Ravens, they always seem to have a good defense, the Ravens. It must be ingrained. It's unbelievable. It must be ingrained in that facility that you have to have a good defense on the Ravens. They're phenomenal. And I don't think Big Ben is mobile enough to skirt around the guys that the defense are going to fly at him. And that's what's going to happen. I think there'll be a lot of blitzes in this game because they've got a decent secondary. I don't think Connor is a top 10. Well, I think he's on the cusp of being a top 10 running back.
That's fair.
But I think that Ben's going to struggle in the pass rush, but we'll see Lamar come to light because of the Steelers' pass rush.
All right, good stuff. Let's move on. Yeah, Baltimore's defense, one of the most aggressive when it comes to blitzing. Let's move on to New England at Buffalo. So the Patriots have won 35 of 40 meetings against the Bills with Bill Belichick in charge. Of course, there's no Tom Brady now. And it's just, I mean, I'm going to pick Buffalo. It's a different Patriots team now, isn't it, Vern?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. The Patriots, as we know, Neil, get a lot of hate within the NFL community because they're so successful. It's like, I call it Manchester United-itis. People hated United during the late 90s and the noughties because they were so good, because they were so successful. And it's the same thing that's happened with New England and Bill Belichick. They're a franchise that is built on winning. It's as simple as that. Tom Brady's been to 9 Super Bowls. 9 Super Bowls.
It's incredible.
If you look at his career, he went to a Super Bowl every other year.
That's mad.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke. And it's all because, well, it's turning out that it is because of that relationship between Brady and Belichick. And people will say, oh, so the New England Patriots were successful because of Brady. No. Hang on. Bill Belichick's probably one of the finest, greatest footballing minds after Vince Lombardi that the NFL has ever seen. You can't take anything away from Bill Belichick being Bill Belichick. Yeah, he's miserable, but he gets the job done. And I think seeing the demise of the New England Patriots for every football fan is quite sad. It really is. Because let me ask you this, Neil. You'll know more than anyone because you've got a real insight into the NFL. What was the reason the Patriots got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think that was a Tom Brady and Robert Kraft move. I don't think Belichick wanted to get rid of him. In fact, I know from people quite close to that organization that Belichick didn't want to get rid of him. I think that was a Tom Brady power play.
See, so if that's the case, why then put pressure on Tom Brady and force him out the door?
Yeah, I know, right. They just did it for that. You know, after Garoppolo went, they won 2 Super Bowls. So maybe that was the trade-off. They decided they wanted those 2, but it's left them in the lurch now for sure, because Cam's not the Cam Newton we knew from 2015.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, yeah, and I know your son's in the academy, Neil. And if you're going to teach him anything, just show him Cam Newton how not to throw a football at a wide receiver.
Don't do it that way.
Oh, it's awful.
But you go Buffalo?
Yeah, I'm going to go Buffalo. I think Josh Allen is a special talent. Any quarterback who weighs over 245 pounds is an absolute beast.
And he's hurdles people.
Oh my, he's willing to put his head down. That's an issue that I think there's a whole different podcast in quarterbacks running and sliding at the moment. But yeah, I'm going to go Bills because I think they've got enough weapons. I'm going to flip that. I'm going to go Bills because I don't think New England have enough offensive weapons to challenge the Bills' defense.
That's very true. Let's move on to Las Vegas Raiders at the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, tough one,
so
this.
I'm going to say,
yeah, it is a tough one. Yeah, you go first.
All right, I'm going to go. All right, there he is, ladies and gentlemen, Neil Reynolds. The Browns are 5-2, but they don't look like a 5-2 football team the way that they carry themselves. In that, I still think there's a lot of confusion. Baker Mayfield, for me, has never looked comfortable as a quarterback. I know that's a big, broad, sweeping statement, but
I agree with that.
He just doesn't look like he can read a defense.
He needs a lot of help. He needs a lot of play action help.
Yeah, he does. He does. You know, and if you look at Josh Allen, for example, we've just spoken about him. He's big. He's strong. He can actually see over the offensive line. And he's got enough physical presence to stand in the pocket that extra microsecond that will enable him to see the receiver that he wants to throw to. And just that extra microsecond gives the receiver enough time to get a little bit more separation so he can launch the ball into the basket. It doesn't happen with the Cleveland quarterback, Baker Mayfield, because I just think he feels so much pressure, not only in the pocket, but on himself.
Yeah, mental.
You know, and you give the guy Jarvis Landry, give him OBJ, and they're still not the team that we thought the Browns would be. However, on the flip side, I love the Raiders. I think they're 3-3. They've got a good running back. I think the quarterback needs to just settle down this season. I think he's getting too much pressure from Chucky, the head coach at the Raiders. But I'm going to go Raiders on this one. They're 3-3, and I think they deserve to have a better record than 3-3.
All right, so this is our first disagreement because I agree with everything you say about Baker Mayfield. I think he needs a lot of help and he needs to be in the right situation on certain plays. But I think the Raiders' defense is one of the worst in the NFL. And I like Derek Carr, and I like Henry Ruggs, and I love Josh Jacobs. But I think this is high scoring, and it's at Cleveland. I'm going to go with the Browns. Let's move on to the Rams at the Miami Dolphins. Tua gets his first start at quarterback, and I have mixed emotions here because I'm a Fitz guy. I love Fitz. So I'm not sure how long I'm going to be able to stay unexcited about Tua, but I'm going to try and give it at least a game or two and act grumpy for a bit.
Yeah, I'm still grumpy. I'm still grumpy because when Fitzmagic made that statement about how disappointed he was, heartbroken. When do you ever hear a professional sports person in any sport say, I'm heartbroken at the way this has been dealt with? That just pulled at my heartstrings, and I felt so sorry for him because he plays with passion, he plays with fun. It seems like he's got the locker room in the palm of his hand. Why would you pull him when the Dolphins are doing well? The Dolphins are doing well. So what do they do? Think, we'll bring in a rookie quarterback who's been sat on the bench for a year and we'll see how he does. He's also left-handed. Now, I saw a documentary with Jerry Rice, and he was saying that when Steve Young became the quarterback at the 49ers, it took Jerry a couple of games to get used to the fact that the ball spins in a different direction.
The other way, yeah. Never really think about those small margins and small things, but it does matter.
Yeah, it does, and it matters massively, you know, which side of the centre you're stood on and where the ball and what angle the ball is coming at you from a left-hander, you know. And I think that's going to take some time. Not too much, but it'll take some time. It's another part of the element to put into the equation. But I'm going to go with the Rams. I think that victory against the Bears, it wasn't nice, it wasn't pretty, but they got the job done. And I think Aaron Donald, oh my goodness me, if Aaron Donald wants to eat cake against the Dolphins, then he is going to feast on this young quarterback.
I agree. I'm going to pick Rams. I saw a stat last week, which goes to show how misleading statistics can be. They were talking about the best pass rushing duo in the NFL this year being Aaron Donald and Troy Reader. Who the hell is Troy Reader? Let's not have Troy Reader be any part of that stat. Aaron Donald had about 8 of the sacks and Troy Reader had 2 of them, you know?
But you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Troy Reader like a safety?
He is, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Like, behave yourselves. Whoever wrote that statistic, like, let's put it this way. You know for a fact that in a free safety or a strong safety's contract, the biggest bonus element would be if you get a sack. And they'll probably get an extra million because it never happens. So that statistic is flawed because the defense is Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I don't like the timing for the Dolphins. I think I would have been okay seeing Tua for the last 4 or 5 games of this year, but I'm going to pick the Rams as well. Let's move on to New Orleans at Chicago. So, Vernon, you are a Bears fan. Is it really any better with Nick Foles instead of Mitchell Trubisky?
I don't think it is. I think Nick Foles needs to be given, I think Matt Nagy needs to loosen the reins of the offense with Nick Foles on the center. I think Nick Foles, we've seen what he can achieve. He's won the big one. There's no higher accolade in American football than winning the Super Bowl and slipping a ring on your finger. Nick Foles has done it. And if you look at that famous play, the Philly special, Nick Foles said, Philly, Philly, let's go Philly, Philly. And the coach looked at him and went, yeah, okay, let's do that.
Go on then.
So, yeah, exactly. Go on then, do it. So Nick Foles has got an offensive mind, which I think he's underestimated. I think Matt Nagy tries to be too Matt Nagy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get that.
It's like, just let it go. Just let the offense breathe. They've got some good offensive weapons. They've got a decent running game. They've got good receivers. Let Nick Foles be Nick Foles.
See, I think that I agree with that. I think sometimes the narrative is, oh, well, the Bears haven't got anyone on offense. Well, they've got Allen Robinson. You know, they've got Anthony Miller. And I know Tariq Cohen's been injured, but they're not without weapons on offense.
Montgomery's not enough, is he?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. They should be scoring 24 points a game.
They really should. And it pains me to say it, but I think Drew Brees' days of throwing a 40-yard bomb are gone. They're well and truly behind him.
Oh, it's dink and dunk city at the moment.
Yeah.
He's lucky he's got Alvin Kamara, because Alvin Kamara makes something out of nothing quite a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But I think after that loss to the Rams on Monday Night Football on a national platform, I think the Bears are going to come out angry. It's at Soldier Field. I can see Khalil Mack having a big day.
Do it. You done it? You picked the Bears?
Bears, yeah.
Oh, I'm going Saints.
All right. Come on, Nicholas. Come on, Nick Foles.
Here we go. San Francisco at Seattle. See, this is a great rivalry. There's two big rivalries here in these big six, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, San Francisco and Seattle. But I think the 49ers are going to play with one arm tied behind their back. There's so many injuries as they go up to Seattle.
Yeah, their running game has been bashed, 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 and then put in the hospital A&E department. Feel so sorry for this 49ers team. I'm going to throw something out there, Neil, and see what you think. I think that there's something going on with football gridirons, football fields at the moment in the NFL. We've got a lot of new stadiums, and we've got a couple of stadiums that have re-turfed their 4G. I think there's something wrong. I think we're seeing too many high ankle strains, too many knee pops, too many, you know, pulls, and I think there's something going on with artificial turf in the NFL.
I would normally have said to you, well, you know, it's just football and they haven't had preseason and they haven't got the calluses built up on their bodies. But there must be something to it, because the NFL Players Association have come out and called for all grass fields, which is a complete turnaround. Because you listen to a lot of players originally. Obviously, they love to play on grass, natural grass. But they also talk about the 3G pitches, 4G pitches as being really great for the fast runners. But this is an issue. I think it's something we should monitor over the next year or so, because I think it's on the NFL Players Association's radar.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. When your players are your assets and your players bring value to the franchise and you're losing them, they're dropping like flies left, right and centre. I think it is a 4G issue. I genuinely do. And real fields, you know, grass, turf, it can be manufactured, it can be manipulated these days. It doesn't necessarily have to be grown outdoors as such. You know, there's a little bit of salt sprinkled on that, but there's so much you can do with a real field. And I think the 49ers have been victim of this, even though they do play on a grass field. Their running backs have taken a pounding, and I feel really sorry for them. But the Seahawks, to me, are like what Kevin Keegan was with Newcastle United. As long as we score more points than the opposition, we will be fine.
Oh, they are. They are. That's a great analogy. I never even thought of it like that. So Pete Carroll's going to stand up. I'd love it if we beat...
San Francisco.
Yeah. But I saw Gary Neville's soccer box with John Barnes, and he was saying that Kevin Keegan was just, listen, forget defending, just everyone move forward. As long as we score more goals than them, we'll be fine. And I think that's where the Seahawks are at the moment. They haven't historically been like that because, you know, they had the Legion of Doom and all that kind of stuff. But I think this year, Russell Wilson has got to be the forerunner, surely, for MVP of the league. Phenomenal athlete, phenomenal player.
And I'm with you. I think they're going to rise and fall based on Russell Wilson's form. And luckily for them, he's magical more often than not. I'm going to go Seahawks. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go Seahawks. And as a fantasy owner of DK Metcalf, it worries me that Tyler Lockett seems to be WR number one, right, Neil?
Yeah, well, 1 and 1A, isn't he? They've got two. But yeah, I mean, Lockett's getting a bit more, isn't he? I don't really look at the fantasy stuff too much. I just think if you're a Seahawks fan, you're happy you've got two number ones. But Tyler Lockett on the end of a Russell Wilson rainbow is about the most beautiful thing in the NFL right now.
Yeah, you're right. It's almost as beautiful as DK Metcalf with his top off.
Well, yes. Hey, you know, big man with football used to refer to like a defensive lineman picking up a fumble or something. Now it could just be DK Metcalf on a slant or Derrick Henry on a sweep.
Oh, well, I've always pitched and touted Julio Jones as the best athlete in the league. But after watching him against the Cardinals and the way that he went and chased down, what's his name?
The safety,
Buda Baker. Yeah, that was just next level. It reminded me of the Super Bowl with the Steelers and the Cardinals when Larry Fitzgerald chased down James Harrison in the end zone.
James Harrison.
But Larry Fitzgerald ran through the bench.
Exactly. That was the only reason he couldn't get there. To go through the bench to get there. We're going to rattle through the rest of these games. All right, both going Seahawks. Let's get, this one's a bit hurry up now. We're in our two-minute hurry-up offense.
Let's go.
Atlanta at Carolina. Well, the Falcons have found another way to lose, another unique way, so I'm going Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going to go Panthers. I think that Teddy Bridgewater has... He's coming good at the moment. I think, you know, he'll surprise a few bands. I think the Panthers will take this one because the Falcons, I mean, how can you lose a game by scoring a touchdown? Outrageous.
It is mad. It is absolutely mad. The Kansas City Chiefs are on a bye. Wait, no, they're not. They're playing the Jets. Same thing. I'm going Chiefs.
Was that, oh, Neil, you got me there. That's a good one, my friend. Yeah, I mean, Chiefs all the way. Too many offensive weapons. Patrick Mahomes. Do you know what, Neil, I know you'll agree with me, but we see it too many times in the NFL where quarterbacks or players in general get these big contracts and their form dips. No. Patrick Mahomes has got the money. He's got the contract. He's got the deal of the century. The best sporting contract of all time, no matter what sport you're playing. And it's kicked him on to the next level. I think he's a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete.
And they're winning with team. Last week, they had a touchdown pass, a touchdown run, a defensive touchdown, and a special teams touchdown. So it's a team thing at the moment for the Chiefs. Minnesota at Green Bay. I'm going Green Bay. Minnesota, one of the biggest disappointments of the season for me.
Yeah, Minnesota can't get out of their own way. It's as simple as that. And I know you like him, but I've never seen anything in Kirk Cousins that really makes me go, whoa, he's a good quarterback. Yes, he can launch it, but I just think it looks like he's wearing two left feet.
Yeah, I probably would agree if I hadn't met him. I need to get out of my feelings.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's all that emotion and the emotional baggage, as they call it, Neil. Yeah, I'm going to go Packers. I just love Aaron Rodgers. Your interview with him this past week, a couple of weeks ago, was just, it just for me summed up who and what he is. He's calm, he's cool, he's collected, he's sensible, he doesn't talk nonsense. He's open with what he believes in. You know, he's an atheist in a Christian country, and he's come out and said it. And I think any guy that can afford himself to do that, it just goes to show how relaxed and how comfortable he is in his own skin.
I think that's the thing. That's, you just said, he's just cool. He's kind of happy with who he is. You'll either like him or you won't, but he's going to be who he is.
Yeah, he's the Don.
Indianapolis at Detroit. Tough one. You can go first.
Yeah, I will go first. I called the Lions to be our surprise team this season because I think they've got enough on offense to make a statement. I really like Matt Patricia. I really do. I think, you know, to spend that longer period under the tenureship of Bill Belichick, you're going to learn something that a lot of coaches don't get the opportunity to soak up. I like Matthew Stafford. I like the way he throws the ball. I think he stands in the pocket a little bit too long for my liking. The running game isn't the best. But as for the Colts, I feel sorry. Like 4-2, Neil, do you agree with me? 4-2, if you just watched Philip Rivers and said to someone, okay, what do you think the record is of this team with this guy on the centre? You go, oh, they've got to be 0-6.
Yeah, well, you'd at least flip it. It would be 2-4 or 1-5. It's not been pretty.
Yeah, it's not pretty at all. And I'm going to go Lions because I just want, I want someone who's been coached by Bill Belichick to be as successful as Bill. I don't know whether Matt's the guy, but it would be great if it could happen.
Yeah, I'm going Detroit as well. I think Kenny Golladay from Matthew Stafford is a great double act as well. So I think that's going to be a key, especially in Detroit. Tennessee at Cincinnati. I'm going Tennessee to get back on track.
Yeah, I love Tennessee. I think Derrick Henry... remember Derrick Henry's first season? No, neither does anyone else, because he was garbage.
No,
exactly. But this guy has worked his butt off. He's worked his ass off to get where he is. I mean, he's like a steam train, just with no brakes. I love him. I think Ryan Tannehill... We've talked about it a few times so far with quarterbacks feeling comfortable in themselves. I think Ryan Tannehill is now comfortable at the Tennessee Titans. So I'm going to go Titans. I would love Joe Burrow to have a really successful debut season, but it doesn't look like he is. But I think he's got all the weapons to be a successful quarterback.
All right. Last three, the Chargers at Denver. I like what they got going on with Justin Herbert. So I'm going to go Chargers to keep it going.
Yeah, I think Justin Herbert had a phenomenal game last week. Absolutely awesome. I think it was 4 touchdowns that he ran one in, or 3 touchdowns and he ran one in. But yep. Another cool, collected, young quarterback. And this is what excites me about the future of the NFL, Neil. We've got all these great, young quarterbacks that are predominantly old school in the way they play. They come out of the centre, they stand up, they bounce around a little bit on their toes, pocket passers, big, strong lads, and then they can launch it. I think Kyler Murray is the only exception. You know, Kyler Murray reminds me of an Oompa Loompa chasing after the chocolate in Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
With his giant helmet on.
Yeah, he's tiny. He looks like, what was that film with Rick Moranis where he had the Darth Vader helmet on?
Yes.
I can't remember what it's called.
Rob Bryan said to me the other day, we were in the Sky Studios, he went, look at the size of Kyler Murray's helmet. I was like, that's a regulation helmet, coach. He's just diddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. But I think this game is probably the toughest to call this week because I want to get excited about the Broncos because John Elway needs to pull a quarterback out of somewhere. I mean, I think there's a conspiracy theory. It's only my own conspiracy theory, and it only goes on in my head. But I don't think John Elway, as general manager, wants a quarterback to be as successful as John Elway.
Well, because he's got a nice thing going on with all the car dealerships of Denver, all the adverts, everything. He doesn't want all that being messed up.
Exactly. I'm going to take a punt. I can't step away from Justin Herbert. I'm sorry, Neil. I'm going to go with you on Chargers.
Oh, I thought you were going the other way for a sec.
Well, let's throw the weather into the mix on this one.
Yeah, what about last week in Denver?
Yeah, last week it was snowing. This week they've got, it looks like clear sunshine on the old iPhone weather.
I'm
going to go Chargers as well. I think they're too good.
All right, so the last two, Dallas at Philadelphia and Tampa at the New York Giants. I'm going to go Philly and I'm going to go Tampa. But I just want to just get your thoughts on what's going on in Dallas and then you make your picks as well because they've lost their starting quarterback. Zeke's got the fumbles. The defense is giving up plays at a historic rate. They actually got their backup quarterback knocked out. The players are calling out the coach. The coach is calling out the players. And the defensive coordinator's rubbed Tabasco sauce in his eye. It's all going on.
There's one problem with Dallas Cowboys, right? And it's as simple as this. Jerry Jones is the problem in Dallas. Jerry Jones needs to say, look, I've made my money. I still own the franchise, but I'm going to step down as general manager. I think once the general manager doesn't have Jones as a surname, that's when the Cowboys will come good. Because you know as well as I do, when you're self-employed, you're looking after yourself. When you run a business, you look after your business. It's your best interest. Jerry Jones needs to get out the way. He really does, because that's the only way the Cowboys are going to get better.
Wow, good stuff. Who are you picking in those last two?
Eagles, and I can't step away from the big boy, Tom Brady. Buccaneers are flying at the moment. Flying.
All right, fantastic. Vernon, this has been great. I'm just going to give my little spiel just to the fans here. So before we go, make sure you head over to our social channels. We're at the NR Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can track our picks and scores throughout the season. Send us your game picks using the hashtag game picks, and we'll compare how you get on against us. Vernon, this has been fun, mate. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, loved it, Neil. Absolutely brilliant. Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome. So there's Vernon Kay, and thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week on Game Picks. That's it for this week's episode of Game Picks. Thank you very much for listening. Episodes will be dropping every Thursday throughout the 2020 NFL season. So be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All that's left now is to say thanks to our special guest and may the best NFL fan win. Game Picks is presented by myself, Neil Reynolds. Gary Hayes is our producer, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. GamePix is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. We'll see you next Thursday for more GamePix.